title of today's sermon is Split Between the Two. Split Between the Two. And if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, we will get rolling into the Word. Now, we're going to be doing a little bit of Bible buzzing around, so you need to kind of be prepared for that. Ephesians chapter 4, it'll start with verse 17. Opening with this statement, there are two aspects to every Christian. There are at least two, I should say. Two aspects. Uno, dos, right? One, two, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Here we go. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. See, they're ignorant because their hearts are hard. That's a really important point. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, not a good plan, is it? They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There are two aspects to every Christian. Now, from reading this text, what are they? What are the two aspects? There is an old you, and there is a new you. So the two aspects for every Christian is the old and the new. The old man is made in the image of rebellious man in the garden. It's the one that's defiant, that sticks its hand up in the face of God and says, I will not bow, I will not yield. It's the one that is opposed to God being the king, and therefore tries to become king by itself. Everybody tries to be king of their own little planet. We're all trying to be like God. We're just not all willing to say it. That's the old us, our old nature. And then you remember that term, born again? Well, the born again term refers to the new nature. The new nature is made in the image of Jesus Christ. It's submissive to God. It's responsive. It's worshipful. It's obedient. And within every Christian, there are moments when you are in the new nature and you are just like getting into worship. Or you're praying and you're like, oh man, I'm getting into this prayer. This is really cool. Or you're reading the Bible, you're going, wow, look at this. Everybody in the world should read what I'm reading right this second. That's the new you. That's the spiritual man. That's the new nature. And there's other times when you wake up and you're not really interested in hearing about praying, reading your Bible, worshiping, church, or anything else. You're kind of more in the mood to go into your car, put it in first gear, and run over people in a parking lot. That's your old nature. That's the old you. Now there's an old you, and there's a new you. There's an old nature, and there's a new nature. And every Christian goes through this. It is the struggle that you go through every single day. You want to know what the real problem is? The real problem for the Christian is we visit the old neighborhood way too often. We just kind of get into our car of our mind, drive down to the old us, say, hey, I know this territory. looks familiar, been here, lived here, done that, think I'll park my car and hang out a while. This is a problem. But there's a reality check that we need, everybody needs. Well, there's two reality checks. The first reality check, number one, it is our choice to visit the old neighborhood. You see, you can't blame God because he's made it so that you don't ever have to visit the old neighborhood. You can't blame the devil because the devil can't make you go visit the old you. We make the choice ourselves every day to walk into the old nature or to walk into the new. And nobody else bears the responsibility but us. Do you ever notice sometimes you're just like high as can be spiritually, and then, man, you come through like this crash, and then you kind of go out the other end, and then you feel like you are like the worst sinner ever. You know, you have that feeling. Well, that's visiting one neighborhood, getting on the subway, and going to visit the other neighborhood. That's what you're doing. That's what's taking place. Because the new nature you have draws close to God. But the old nature that you have draws away from God. And there is no peace in the old nature. There is no grace. There is no love. There is no forgiveness. There is no compassion. There is no patience. It is all about self. Self-gratification in the old. And there's never fulfillment in it. So the first reality check that we have to own, we really do, is that we make that decision. The second one, which is kind of more of a funny thing to talk about, is the fact that when we do visit the old neighborhood, did you ever notice that we're worse than we've ever been? Have you ever noticed that you'd think, gosh, I think I've made such advancements. But when you kind of go back into the old neighborhood, you recognize, I'm as messed up now as I've ever been, and maybe even more so messed up. I want you to look at verse 22. This tells you why. Verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, right, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Not which has been corrupted, but it's continually being corrupted. And see, the old you, in another passage, it says the old you is crucified. So sometimes people get really confused because they say, well, how could the old me be crucified, but then the old me is still being corrupted? I'm kind of a little messed up here. Well, let me help you out. Ready? From a positional point of view, you're righteous in the eyes of God. You've been made holy. You're there. From a practical point of view, you're not even close. Positionally, you're everywhere you need to be in the righteous standings of God. But if God comes down and starts doing a little inventory on you right on the spot, you're a mess. Well, the same truth that applies to you in salvation and that concept applies to your old nature. Positionally, the old nature's crucified. It's got no power. It's got no authority. Practically, it's continuing to grow until that crucifixion goes into effect. Much of that crucifixion won't go into effect while we live there because we're giving it life, so it can't die. Okay? Now, here's the big, big, big thing. With the conflict of the inner self, so to speak, where you're visiting the old and you're bouncing between the old and new and the old and new, there has to be a solution, and you know there is, there has to be a solution for us to get out of this conflict. Because you don't want to be walking in the old because it will kill you. And you want to be walking in the new because it will give you life. So we have to figure out how to walk in the new consistently. So the question is, what do? We turn to Colossians chapter 3. That's what we do. Colossians chapter 3. And you're just going to hate the answer, and you're going to go bummer, and all that other stuff. Colossians chapter 3. Here's the answer between the old and the new man. Ready? It's overly complex, but you'll still enjoy it. Verse 7 of Colossians chapter 3, if you are there, says this: You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. There it is. That's your answer. Good night. No, we'll talk about it. This is it. See, it tells you one thing. It tells you to put off your old self. It tells you another thing. It says to put on your new self. And then it tells you what is necessary for this to take place. Verse 10, everybody. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. The first and foremost answer that we have to obtain in how to walk in the newness of life is to understand that the new nature has to be renewed. It has to be freshened. It has to be strengthened. It has to be fortified. The new nature, you, the new you, has to be put up, has to be, you know, hoisted, has to be, you know, supported. Well, how do you support it? How do you strengthen it? How do you renew the new nature? How do you renew the new man? How do you get that energizing going? Well, it tells you, it's through the knowledge in the image of its creator. Did you see that? Well, here's a question. Where do we find the knowledge that contains the image of our creator? Let's ask that question again. Where do we find the knowledge that contains the image of our creator? Bing! You see, here it is. The knowledge that's according to God's image is in this book. It's in this book. It could be green, it could be blue, it could be black. This happens to be blue. But it's in this book. The knowledge of the image of our creator is here. Well, that's how we renew our new man. That's how we strengthen our new man. Well, now, wait a second. What are you saying? Well, now, this is what we're saying. Follow along. Here it is. The image of God, the knowledge of that image is contained in this book. And that information pumps up the new man. So it's like you got to do this, okay? You're deflated. You know, you always inject in the butt. You know, but you got to do it so that you are strengthened. And this is what does the pumping up. You think, well, how can that be? Because Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The word of God brings reviving and restoring. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Ready? All scripture. How many?
All.
How many is all?
All.
Okay, you've got that one solved. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. We've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again. In the very beginning, there was Adam. What was Adam? Before he had life, what was Adam? What did God make Adam out of? The dirt! The mud! God was the first one to use Play-Doh. And he takes the earth, and he makes a little image. Oh, he's having a good time. But Adam's not alive yet, is he? Mm-mm. When does he become alive? God breathes on him! Live. You're going to cause a lot of problems. But, you know, that's probably one of the first lines, but Adam probably didn't hear that line. Here's Adam. He's alive now. Why? Because God has breathed on him. The breath of God has come upon an inanimate object, and the inanimate object takes on the form of life. So, the breath of God gives life. Well, now watch this. Every scripture is God-breathed. And so the same breath, exact same breath, that went on that inanimate object and gave life to our forefather, is the same breath that comes into you when you are engaged in the Word. The breath of God, which breathed on that little inanimate object and gave it life, is breathing on you and giving you life. Is that important? Well, only if you want to walk in your new man is it important. And see, what you need is that breath of God to breathe on you so that you can pull back from the old nature, which is where you do all your thingies that you know you're not supposed to do, and that you can walk in the fullness of strength, and this is kind of how you got to do it. And you want to know the most simplistic key? I mean, this sounds overly complex, but maybe it's not. The key to this whole thing is having an intimate relationship with God's Word keeps our new man strong and our old man neutered. Well, I couldn't think of a better word. The new man is strengthened. The old man is defeated or shut down by having an intimacy with the breath of God. Isn't that cool? That's not overly complex, is it? Just a couple more scriptures and actually we'll be done. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God. You see that if? That's what the devil does. If you're really a Christian, you wouldn't do this. Just so you can know that you're not alone in that, because the devil did that to Jesus. Okay. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your physical man cannot live without food. Has everybody got that? Are we together in this? I mean, do we need to go through like a biology run through? You cannot live without food. Your physical man. Well, how do you expect your spiritual man to live without food? How do you expect the spiritual you to live if it's not fed? Does that make any sense? You must feed your spiritual man. Spiritual food. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, thereby equating the word of God with bread, of all the things. And bread, especially back then, was like the basic, you know, it's like cola today. I'm sorry, that's a good reason. But I mean, for me, it's like a Coke, and I gotta have a Coke. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the basic necessity. And that's true for your spirit man. You see, I'm gonna talk about this in a couple weeks, but not next week, but there's a reason why when you read this, sometimes it's really boring. Sometimes you get really sleepy. Then Zerubbabel said, God, I don't know why. Not because there's Nital in here, hello. But because the devil knows that if he keeps you disconnected, he keeps you. That's it. He keeps you where he wants to keep you. Ineffective. Unrelated to his kingdom. Not worrying about tearing apart darkness from his point of view. That's why sometimes you read. Do you ever have to fight to read your book? Well, it's a war. It's boring. It's boring. Okay, I gave you a book to read about the historical aspects of mankind and things in the future and ways to live life. You would consider that book boring? Well, if that's what happened, what's the problem? It's not boring, only it's real. See what happens to us though? Get caught up in it. Well, that's why the devil doesn't want you in this thing. Because it can revive your spirit and make you walk on top of the water. Let's close with this. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We will start with verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Oh, does everybody understand that? Do we do it? Anything we really need to review on this? Do you pretty much you got this? There's an old you, there's a new you, right? It's your choice whether you're going to hang out in the old you or the new you, right? Hang out in the old you. You're giving it to yourself. You're causing problems for yourself. You think it's a problem for God? Oh no! He's walking in the flesh. What will I do? I mean, God's not up there doing that. We're taking ourselves down. We're the ones that are cutting our own throat by not walking in the newness of life, but by walking in the old us. And the bottom line is we choose to do that. So the answer to that is to strengthen the new us, the new nature. And the way you do that is by being intimate with God's word. That's your 2-minute review. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says this. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 15. Listen to what it says. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. And you know what we do? We create opportunities to walk in the old us by giving a lot of mind time to it, by thinking about it. When the children of Israel were in the desert, they kept thinking about Egypt. They kept thinking about, remember Egypt? Remember Egypt? You know, they didn't know exactly where they were going or how they were getting there, and they're probably getting a little frustrated seeing the same sand formations 400 or 500 times. But they started to think. Remember, we used to have leeks and onions in Egypt. You know, we kind of knew what was expected of us. We knew what we could get away with. We knew how things were. The Bible says that in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. They forgot that they were working 14-hour days, 7 days a week, that children were brutally murdered, that everybody was brutally murdered. If they didn't perform properly, they were executed on the spot. They forgot all of the bad stuff. They just remembered all the great highlights of the good. And you know what? Sometimes when you're walking as a Christian and things are really frustrating, it's easy to remember how good it used to be. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Because it wasn't good. It was never good. We just never admit that. As a matter of fact, it gagged. That's why we were so hungry for a message of life and hope. And see, if we stop giving so much mind time to the past, we won't be drawn to it. And if we stop giving so much energy and focus to the old us, it won't have as much power. That's not that hard. We just kind of need to personally all make the decision to quit goofing around and to do it. Because the power is already ours. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, and I just want to read it. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Our new nature and walking in it is up to us. It has already been provided for by God. But we will have to give an answer for which neighborhood we hang out in. No question about it. So I think a good place to start would be just to corporately acknowledge that we need God's help to make better decisions and to stay in better neighborhoods. Let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can see the distinction between the old and the new. We don't have to be rocket scientists to figure it out. We walk through our life and every day we experience some of the new and some of the old. But Father, you have made it clear that we are not required to stay in the old. It is a decision we make. And you have made it so that we have tools to give us the ability not to stay in the old, which makes us all the more accountable. So we start off by asking for your strength and your wisdom and your guidance to keep us in the new nature. And we ask, Lord God, for your forgiveness for being too mindful of a life that was rebellious against you. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before me." Some of us need to let go of the past because it's not as glorious as we think it is, Lord. We need your help, though, to do that. Help us to let go and to look forward into your glory, into your promise, and into the newness of life where there is peace, grace, hope, love, faith, laughter, joy. We know we can do better in this. Help us to do better. That's our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Pray.